Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ana Mateo. This program is for English learners, so we speak a bit slower. And our stories are especially written for people learning English. Here are the stories we have for you on today's program. First, the education report. Dan Friedel and Jill Robbins talk about a well-known university in California and its problems with enrollment and student housing. I will return with this week's words and their stories. Today, I share an expression about green grass. Then, Brian Lynn brings us a science story. Researchers recently took another look at a fossil of an octopus and found something surprising. John Russell shares an arts and culture story about a Korean musical that has become popular online. We will finish our program with a political story. Gregory Stockel talks about how Taiwan is studying the situation in Ukraine in regards to its own situation with China. But first, here is the education report.
The University of California, Berkeley, called the state's recent Supreme Court ruling devastating news for students who have earned a seat in the class for the upcoming school year. The state's highest court chose not to look at a case first decided in the summer of 2021. That is when a lower court said the university must limit the number of students on its campus to about 42,000 for the 2022-2023 school year. Right now, about 45,000 students are at UC Berkeley. UC Berkeley is one of the top public universities in the United States. The school said it received over 128,000 applications for the upcoming freshman class. In order to meet the lower number, the university said it would bring in more students who live in California. As a result, international students and those from other American states would get fewer seats. In addition, the university said it would ask some students to take classes from home early in the school year before coming to campus in 2023. Others will have to wait 1 year to start their college education if they still want to come to Berkeley. The university is also asking students to consider off-campus study programs in Sacramento, the state's capital, or Washington, D.C.
The legal case was brought by a group of people who live in the city of Berkeley. They formed an organization called Save Berkeley's Neighborhoods, or SBN. The group said the university had not been truthful about the number of students it meant to accept each year. It also said the school did not consider how its increasing enrollment would affect the surrounding neighborhoods. UC Berkeley, like several California schools, does not have enough housing for its increasing enrollment. SBN said the university planned in 2005 to increase the number of students on campus by only 1,650 over 15 years. However, as of 2018, the number of students increased by over 8,000 without enough new housing. The larger amount of students, SBN said, caused an increase in noise and waste. Because they could not live at school, they moved into the neighborhoods around the school, causing higher housing costs. As a result, SBN asked the local court to restrict the school's enrollment.
The situation in Berkeley is similar to other disputes between large California universities and their cities. The cities of Los Angeles, San Diego, and Santa Barbara are also dealing with increasing numbers of students and universities that do not have enough housing. In recent years, California state leaders have been working to help more students get into college. In 2021, they added $47 billion in education-related spending to increase the number of students going to public colleges. Groups like SBN say the state has not required universities to build more housing, while it has been pushing them to accept more students. On the other side, universities like UC Berkeley say environmental restrictions in California make it difficult for them to build new housing for students. Save Berkeley's Neighborhoods argued that UC Berkeley's failure to limit the number of students violates a state environmental law put in place in 1970. And the school said lengthy environmental reviews for new buildings have limited its attempts to build more housing for students. State lawmaker Scott Weiner said he would find a way to permit colleges to build student housing more easily.
When the California Supreme Court said it would not review the lower court's decision, SBN offered to work with UC Berkeley to permit 1,000 more students for the upcoming school year if most of them were from California. The university declined the offer. A spokesperson told the local newspaper that decisions on the number of students are made by elected officials and school leaders and not by a small group. The university also plans to appeal the decision later this year. Jesse Livesey recently completed his advanced studies in physics at UC Berkeley. He said he does not believe there is a serious conflict between the university and the city. Everyone is concerned about the high cost of housing in Northern California.
It's a big problem in the Bay Area that goes way beyond UC Berkeley. I don't feel like we've hit some like breaking point or something is now unsustainable.
Livesey said that rejecting qualified students is not a way to solve the housing problem. I would love for those students to be able to come to Berkeley, and I think that's what should happen, Livesey said. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Dan Friedel.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Springtime is coming soon to the northern half of the planet. That means signs of green plant life are beginning to show. Some flowers and trees will start to bloom, and some grasses will become more green. In the United States, many people spend a lot of time and money growing a yard full of weed-free green grass. Even if that area surrounding the house is not used very much, some people still want it to look nice, with lots of healthy-looking green grass. Neighbors can even get competitive over who has the greenest, thickest lawn. But competing with and comparing ourselves to others is usually not a good idea. In fact, we have an idiom to describe that exact situation. That idiom is, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. This expression describes people who are not happy with their own lives, and they think that someone else, or everyone else, has a better life than they do. Some might say this idiom describes the human quality of always wanting something different than what you have. Some people are never happy with their own situation. They are never satisfied. They think others have it better or easier than they do. Even if their life is perfectly fine, they still look at others and want what they have. The idiom also expresses this idea. People often think a different set of conditions would bring them greater happiness. So we use this idiom to remind people that this is not often the case. Let's say you look over the fence and see that your neighbor has a new car, a big house, and a good-looking partner. You may want what that neighbor has. But what you may not know is that the new car and big house are making your neighbor poor. And the good-looking partner is actually a mean, unpleasant person. Let's listen to a conversation between two friends. Notice how they use a shortened form of the idiom. This is often how you will hear it.
Did you hear the news about Martin? He's moving again.
What? That's the third time in a year. What's wrong this time?
Well, he visited a friend in Oregon and saw that the guy has got a big house with a big yard, and the city has more farmers markets and bike lanes than where he lives now. So now he's moving out there to start over.
He did the same thing a few months ago when he visited a friend in California.
You know Martin. He's always been a grass-is-always-greener kind of guy.
Well, hopefully he'll be happy in Oregon.
I doubt it.
And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo. Now, Brian Lynn brings us a science story.
Scientists say a fossil of the oldest known octopus ancestor suggests that the animal lived before the dinosaurs. The researchers have estimated the fossil is about 330 million years old. It was discovered in what is now the Western American state of Montana. The fossil was donated to Canada's Royal Ontario Museum in 1988, but it was not considered an important find for many years as scientists studied other fossils found at the same site. But then some researchers discovered that the fossil showed the many limbs of an animal and began to study it further. The 12-centimeter fossil has 10 limbs, each with two rows of suckers. Modern octopuses have 8 limbs. The scientists say the ancient creature likely lived in shallow ocean areas. The researchers say the fossil suggests that octopuses lived millions of years earlier than scientists believed. This means that the animals developed before the dinosaurs. The team recently reported its findings in the publication Nature Communications. It's very rare to find soft tissue fossils except in a few places, Mike Vecchione told the Associated Press. He is a zoologist with the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History, who was not involved in the study. This is a very exciting finding. It pushes back the ancestry much farther than previously known, Vecchione said. Christopher Whalen is a scientist with the American Museum of Natural History in New York City. He was a co-writer of the study. He told the AP the well-preserved fossil showed evidence that the ancient octopus had the ability to release a dark liquid to help it hide from predators, just like modern octopuses. The creature, known as a vampiropod, was likely the ancestor of both modern octopuses and vampire squid, the researcher said. Such creatures are more similar to an octopus than a squid. The team said until now, the oldest known definitive vampiropod was believed to have lived around 240 million years ago. The scientists named the fossil Psilipsomopody bideni, after American President Joe Biden. They said they decided on the name to show respect for Biden's science and research policies. I'm Brian Lynn.
Now let's hear from John Russell with an arts and culture story.
For her final college project, known as a senior thesis, Harvard University student Julia Rue wrote a full-length musical that has become popular on social media. The 22-year-old Korean-American student has been releasing parts of the musical, which is inspired by a Korean folktale, on TikTok. The short videos that show her changing into a princess have quickly gotten a strong following. Supporters have taken to creating visuals and animations to help bring her story to life. Rue has even gotten attention from Hollywood and theater producers. "It honestly still feels like I'm dreaming," she said recently. It's been heartwarming to see the reaction, especially among the Korean-American community. Heartwarming is a term that means causing pleasant feelings or happiness. Rue hopes the musical follows the same path of other musicals that have had success on TikTok in recent years. Ratatouille, the TikTok musical, was released in 2020 as a concert for charity, after the idea developed for months on the social media platform. It had Adam Lambert, Wayne Brady, and other stars. Last year, the female group known as Barlow and Bear became popular on TikTok with a song inspired by the Netflix show Bridgerton. That led to the unofficial Bridgerton musical, a 15-song album that is now up for a Grammy Award. The interest and attention that Rue has received has led her to believe that the musical may become a film or a stage production. It seems at this point the project will be moving forward, she said. Not sure yet if that means as a stage production, as an indie film, or something else, but there definitely has been some interest. Rue's musical draws on the Korean folktale, The Blind Man's Daughter, about a young woman who tries to restore her blind father's sight, but ends up in the distant Dragon Kingdom. In Rue's version, young Shim Chung spends years growing up in the magical realm before setting out on a journey home. Along the way, truths are revealed, problems are solved, and there's no shortage of laughs and fun songs. If that sounds like many of Disney's most famous works, that's the point, says Rue, who grew up listening to Disney and Broadway songs. She began writing her own songs and musicals at a young age. What stood out to me is that it's a story about a young woman who goes on an adventure, she explains. There aren't too many stories in Korean folklore about women, especially ones where they go on adventures. Rue says she's long considered the idea of a musical drawing from her Korean heritage, but only seriously started working on it after the coronavirus pandemic hit. She ended up moving back home because campus was closed. Rue admits she struggled at times to write the story and questioned if it was right for her, as a third-generation Korean-American, to tell it. There were moments where I tried to quit, when I felt like I was a fake Korean, she said. But I realized over the process that we can only really represent our own story, and that's totally okay. There's no such thing as one way to be Korean. The TikTok videos have not just helped create attention for the project, they have also helped her develop and change it. Rue says she changed the character of Lotus, Shim Chong's friend and the story's comic relief, from a dragon to a nine-tailed fox from Korean folklore. This change was based on helpful messages from supporters. It's been reinvigorating, she said of putting out her work to the sometimes critical eye of social media. It's been eye-opening to realize how many people would love to see this come to fruition. I'm John Russell.
Finally, here is Gregory Stockel.
Taiwan's military experts have been studying how Ukraine has defended itself against the much larger Russian military. The island territory is planning in the event China decides to use force. Like Ukraine, Taiwan's own forces are much smaller than its neighbors. Taiwan's government has not reported any unusual activity by the military in China, but it has raised its alert level. China views independent Taiwan as part of its country. Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen has backed the idea of asymmetric warfare to make its smaller forces more mobile and harder to attack. Ma Chang-kwan is an expert on the Chinese military at Taiwan's National Defense University. He said, Ukraine's military has been making full use of asymmetric warfare very effectively, and so far, successfully holding off Russia's advance. Ma said Taiwan's armed forces have been actively developing light weapons that would make full use of asymmetric warfare. From Ukraine's performance, we can be even more confident in our own, he said. Taiwan has also been developing missiles that can reach far into China. Recently, the Defense Ministry said it plans to more than double its yearly missile production to close to 500 this year. Taiwan's government has repeatedly pointed to the Taiwan Strait as a natural barrier that separates it from China. Ukraine has a long land border with Russia. Experts say Taiwan can also easily detect Chinese military movements and prepare ahead of an invasion. China would need to move hundreds of thousands of soldiers and ships, which could easily be targeted by Taiwanese missiles. Su Tzu Wen is a researcher at Taiwan's top military research group, the Institute for National Defense and Security Research. He said to put soldiers in Taiwan, China would have to cross the strait, so it's a much higher risk for China. The war in Ukraine has renewed the continuing debate whether United States forces would come to aid Taiwan in the event of a Chinese attack. The U.S. does not give a clear answer to this in either direction. But the Biden administration sent a team of former defense officials to Taiwan shortly after Ukraine was invaded. Lo Jijing is a senior lawmaker from the ruling Democratic Progressive Party. He observed that the action should settle the debate if the United States can be trusted. At this time, it sent a message to the other side of the strait, to Taiwan's people, that the United States is a trustworthy country, he said this week. Taiwan is a major producer of semiconductors, the important electronic parts that run everything from advanced weapons to automobiles. That and the surrounding water, Taiwanese believe, make its defensive position different from Ukraine. However, the Biden administration repeatedly ruling out sending troops to Ukraine has caused unease for some in Taiwan. Chao Chien-mi is the former head of Taiwan's Mainland Affairs Council. He said, "Do people in Taiwan really think now that the West and the United States will still come to save us?" I'm Gregory Stockel.
And that is our show for today. Thanks for listening. Some content from today's show is from the Associated Press or Reuters News Agency. And don't forget to join us tomorrow for more stories from around the world, all aimed at helping you learn English. I'm Anna Mateo.